your Bible tonight, if you would, please, and open up to Proverbs chapter number 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 4. We've been studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights, and we learned a couple weeks ago that there's a book of Proverbs chapter 4 is broken up into a couple sections. We've learned that a couple of them now, and tonight we're going to go into the third section. We're starting with verse number 14. Verse number 19, and it's talking about how to make good decisions. How to make good decisions. The book of Proverbs is probably one of the most important practical books in the Bible. It is written in a poetic style, but it teaches us the practicality of living. That's probably one of the hardest books to put into your life because it's a change. We have to change. Change is hard. We don't like change as people. We resist change. I was reading something today that talked about change and how that if you tell somebody you need to change, they're not going to change. You have to encourage people to want to change. So the decision is that they change on their own. I was counseling a man the other day, and he said he was concerned about some folks in his life who needed to change some things, and he had a long talk with them and told them why they needed to change them. And the very next day they went out and did the exact same thing that they just told them that was going to hurt them. Why? And he said, because we don't like to change. And when you put pressure on people to change, we're not going to change. When you manipulate people into trying to change, they're not going to change. Even when we think we should change, and we don't know what to change to, we're not going to change. And the book of Proverbs is God teaching you and I about how to live in such a way that glorifies Him in our life. And it's difficult because that's not what we grew up learning. We grew up living according to the world. We knew how to live the world's styles, or the world's ways, the ways that please our life and please our lifestyle. But that's not the ways that God wants us to live. And so it's difficult, even when we know that we need to change, implementing those changes in our life. I've been thinking a lot about changing, as not only in the doing this study, but there are things in everybody's life, including my life, and I got a whole list of things I need to change in my life. And as you go through trying to make those adjustments, how you need to go back and relive and relearn things that you just learned a couple weeks ago, maybe even a few days ago, and you have to constantly review. And I brought to mind going to school. How many times did you say the ABCs in school? Once? Twice? Three times? How about maybe 3,000 times? Over and over and over and over again until it became a part of you. And the same is true with the changes that we see in the book of Proverbs that we need to apply into our life. It just isn't that we learn it one time and then we do it. We learn it and then we've got to learn it again. And then we've got to learn it again. And then we've got to learn it again. And we've got to learn it again until over a period of time it starts to become a part of us. And so it takes time. So as we look in Proverbs chapter 4, let's start with verse number 14. And it says this, "Enter not into the paths of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass it not by. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and know not at what they stumble." So I want to talk to you on a couple things here about making good decisions that we see listed here. Father, I ask to help us to understand these simple truths, help them to become real in our life, and help us to be able to put them to work in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we see some good questions that need to come up that God's giving to us in the book of Proverbs. Look in verse 14. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men." The first question would be, where does this path go? Where's it going? Where's it going to end at? What's this path that I'm on? Where's it going to go? The second question I see here in verses 14 and 15, it says, "Enter not into the paths of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass it not by. Turn from it and pass away." How about this? Who else is on that path? There's somebody else on that same path. So when I'm going to make a decision in my life, the first question is, where is this going to lead me? Who else is on that path with me? How about this? What are they doing on the path? What is it that these folks are doing on that same path? Is that the path that I need to be on? It's so easy for us to, I'm going to say this word, I don't like using it a lot, but it's a true word. We make flippant decisions. Just off the cuff. No thought process to it. Because we just don't even think about the ramifications oftentimes of what we're doing. And actually, it can happen quite quickly. We can be in a conversation or in a situation and suddenly come to a conclusion and boom, pass it right by and not even realize what we've said. Or where we're headed, or where we're going, or what path we just put ourselves on. Because it's almost second nature. The world has so well taught us. We're on that path already. And God wants us to recognize as we make decisions in our life, because decisions is what your life is made out of. An example is love. Love is a decision. It's not an emotion. Emotions change. We can like something, like it's an emotion. Love isn't an emotion, it's a decision. Then we have emotion because of what we do with that decision. Let me illustrate that. You are a parent. You suddenly become a parent. Put it that way. The baby's born. Life starts going on. You get to be the age like Dougie, 3 years old. Or like Darla, just an infant. And parents, we love our children. It's not just an emotional love. It's not what they do for us that causes us to love them. It's what we do for them that causes us to love them. And that's where love really comes in at. Love is something we do because we made a decision, so we do it on their behalf. And we love them even more because of what we're doing for them. Love isn't what we can get from somebody else. That's not what love is. Love isn't a result of what somebody else gives to us, and so I love them because this is how they make me feel. I feel that way because of what I do for them, not what they do for me. So regardless of how they treat you, you decide that you love them. Alright? Dougie, 3 years old, he does good things. He does some things that need to be corrected. Your love doesn't change for him because he has to be corrected. He may even say some things as a young child that can hurt, but we don't take him in a hurtful form because he's 3 years old. Amen? So the love doesn't get affected by how he treats us. The love is a decision that we made because they're our child, and what we do for them causes us to have that joy, that excitement, that emotion. And so, when we make decisions, those decisions then dictate things to us. They create situations that are on. So we need to learn to ask good questions then. Like it shows us, enter not into the path of the wicked, nor go into the way of evil men. So what's that path? So when I see people like that on the path, I need to know that that's not the path I need to follow. That's the path I need to stay away from. What are they doing on that path? Well, it says here in verse 15, they sleep not except they've done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. There's some people that just take great joy in hurting other people. Don't understand it. But man, their whole life is nothing about but hurting people, hurting people, hurting people, hurting people. And it seems like they can't sleep well unless they get at somebody or get to somebody or get under somebody's skin. That doesn't make any sense to me, but I know this. That's not the path that you and I are supposed to be on. That doesn't mean we're not on that path. It means that's the path we're not supposed to be on. We're supposed to recognize that. That's what wisdom is. Looking at life from God's perspective. Looking down and saying, oh man, look who I'm surrounded myself with. Look at the position I've put myself in. I need to get off this path. I need to get away from this crowd that's leading me that direction. So then it is important then for us to look at who else we're around. And make decisions based upon those who are around us. Because their behavior affects us. If we're around somebody that's constantly judging somebody else, we also will become a judge. If we're around somebody that's always angry, we too will become angry. If we're around somebody that has no morals, we too will end up to have no morals. Why? Because we end up to become like those that are around us. So then we need to look at that and say, okay, that's the path I'm on. I need to get off that path. I need to get on that path over there. Now, can I be honest with you? There may not be anybody else on that other path. But it doesn't matter. Jesus is there. That's the Lord's path. Whether the rest of the world takes it or doesn't take it, that's not the question. The question is, what path do we need to be on? That's wisdom from God's perspective. Is this what I want for my life? Is this what I want for my child's life? Is this what I want for my family's life? Those are the kind of questions that we have to learn to ask ourselves as we look at where we're at. Sometimes, maybe our main life is on the right path, but there's a lot of portions of our life that aren't on the right path. So then we need to correct those. That's what the book of Proverbs is teaching us. Listen, I know what path I'm on in general. You know what path you're on in general. That's why you're here tonight. But that doesn't always mean every portion of my life is on that same path. Or every portion of your life is on that same path. So what we have to look at is where is our character? Where is our behavior? Where are our actions? What is this? Where is this part of my life? Where is that part of my life? And I need to start to make those adjustments in my life. Personally, again, they're difficult. And again, they're hard. And again, we've got to be reminded of them over and over and over again. They need to become almost second nature to us. But they don't become second nature to us if we ignore them. We have to constantly work on them and work on them and work on them and work on them. And here's what I found out. When I finish one part and I feel like I finally made it in one part, I find another part that's in worse condition. It doesn't seem like I can get all the parts at the same place at the same time. Anybody else live there besides me? Yeah, so it takes time. So these are good kind of questions we need to ask ourselves. Then we see this. There is a different path. The first path we looked at that we see basically is the path of the wicked. But verse 17 and 18 and 19 talk about a different way. So in verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So we're never where we want to be. That more and more indicates that's a growing process. So I'm growing more, and I'm growing more, and I'm growing more, and I'm growing more. I'm not there yet. I may never get there, but I'm growing in that direction. You ever watch a tree grow? It grows, and it gets a little bit bigger, and then it grows some more, and it gets a little bit bigger. And then all of a sudden it gets to a size where you don't notice it growing anymore. But it's still growing. It's still getting bigger. If you were to cut that tree down 50 years, if you were to put a mark in the side of that tree, and then cut it down 50 years later, you'd find that mark buried deep into that tree because that tree would have continued to grow. We just didn't notice it. And many times that's what our life is like. We got saved. We changed some major things in our life. But we're still growing, though other people may not notice it. Even sometimes we may not notice it. We still need to continue to grow until that we get to the Lord returns. So, what is that path? That's the path of the just. The just. For the path of the just, it says in verse 18, is as a shining light. So, it's a lighted path. What lights that path? The Word of God. That's the light of our path. It's not violence. It's the light of the Word of God. Often in my life, I've had to step back and take a look and say, okay, now how did I just get from here to there? What a mess we just went through. There wasn't anything about God there. There was no light there. It was nothing but darkness and evil and vileness and wickedness that just took place. Because it's not in the light of the Word of God. So then I must continue to walk in the Word of God, read it on a daily basis, get it as a part of my life so it lights the path that I'm on. Again, we're making decisions all the time. We're trying to make the right decisions all the time. It could be a simple thing as selling something. Do I want to sell this? Should I sell this? How much should I sell it for? Should I sell it? When should I sell it? How should I sell it? Should I even sell it? That's a simple decision, we would think. But we even need to make those decisions in the light of the Word of God because we want to make the right decision. Sometimes it's hard to make the right decision. We think we're doing the right thing. We really do. Especially as parents. As your children grow older, you'll say many times in your life, okay, I've got to make this decision. I've got to make the right decision. My children's life depends on this decision I make, and it really does. Then you make the best decision you think you can make, and you make it in the light of the Word of God, and then something seems like suddenly it didn't make the right decision. Maybe a few years later, or 5 years later, or 10 years later, you say to yourself, how did I get into this mess? Did I make the wrong decision? I tried to make the right decision. I tried to do that which was right. I sought God's face. I looked in His Word. I prayed and begged God to help me make the right decision. Can I tell you, you're never going to know if you made the right decision until you get to heaven. All we can do is make that decision at that time based upon the information we have. And it's not the ramifications of that decision that decide whether or not that was a good decision or not. It's what impact did it have in eternity. And we won't know that impact till eternity. Because sometimes we've made the right decision, but it was a hard decision. And it didn't seem to go right. Say, how can that be, preacher? Well, let's take a look at a decision from the Bible. One day, Eve had just eaten of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, and had given it to Adam, her husband. And they made a decision, and so did God. God said they got caught in the trap. They're the wages of sin is death. They're going to have to die. They're going to have to spend eternity in hell. So I'm going to make a decision. Here's my decision. Out of love for them, I'm going to send my only begotten Son, and He is going to pay their sin debt for them. Now, I'm sure God knew all the ramifications of that decision when He made that decision. Yet I can't imagine how heartbroken He was when His Son became sin for us. And for the first time in eternity, He had to turn His back on His Son and forsake His only Son. For those who haven't even given Him any credit, and many times we still don't. That doesn't sound like a very good decision. And it certainly doesn't seem like it's gone in the right direction. Now let's take America and put America into this formula here. America was a great nation that depended on God, that walked with God, that went about God's business. And now look at the condition America's in. It's anything but godly. In fact, it's really quite godless. And here's a decision that God made. This is what He gave His Son for? Yeah. Doesn't seem like it was a good decision if you look at it from that perspective. Because it's not over yet. We're not in eternity yet. Now, when we get to eternity and we're all there and there is no sin there, and there is no devil there, and there is no temptation there, and there is no problems there, and we're in the presence and the glory of God for eternity, do you think it'll be a good decision then? Yeah. See, we'll never see the result of that good decision until we're there. Does God know it's a good decision? Yeah. But sometimes it just doesn't seem like it, does it? So sometimes we may not understand we did the right thing We did the right thing at the time in which we did it. We prayed about it. We did the thing that according to the Word of God, in the light of the Word of God, but it just didn't seem like it was the right thing now. It still was the right thing. It just doesn't look right. And you won't know till eternity the value of that decision when it was made and all the effects that it had for eternity. I want to preach a message on this particular portion of this right here, but I never have. I want to. We only see this much when it's this much. See, we only see what little bit of effects it has on us at this moment. But yet the actions had a ripple effect throughout eternity that we don't even understand or know yet. So how can we say that this little decision here may have probably was a bad decision, but because of look at these little things that are around us, we're all we see is that little bitty speck, like through a microscope. And yet the decision is as big as this world. And the effects of it are as big as this world. All I'm saying is that there's more to it than what we see. And maybe what we feel and what we're going through. So the best thing to do is then stay in the light. Make your decisions within the light of the Word of God. Number two, it becomes clearer and clearer each step we take. That's why it says it becomes brighter and brighter. Look in verse 18 again. For that path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So, things become brighter and brighter as we take steps in the Word of God and in His way. Now there's an important statement right there. In His Word and in His way. Because a lot of times we make a decision in His Word and in His way, but then we walk away from it and the ramifications seem to be harsh. And they are. Because we didn't stay within the light. So we got to make sure that we stay in the path that God sent us in. Look at what it says here. In the way of the wicked is darkness, and they know not what they stumble. So then there's safety when we make a decision. There's safety then when we make the decision in the light of the Word of God, and we follow it, and we walk with it according to the Word of God. There's a safety there. So here we see two contrasting directions, don't we? We see the contrasting direction of the wicked and the contrasting direction of the just. The Bible says the just shall live by, tell me, faith. That's right, faith. Just shall live by faith. Faith is trusting God. The world lives by sight. What we know that we can see, what we can touch. But the just don't live that way. We live by faith. And who do we exercise our faith in? Our Lord. And how do we exercise that faith? By His Word. So as I walk in those ways, I see the contrast of those two different patterns of life. And he tells us in the book of Proverbs then that there's two different contrasts here. Two different directions. Two different paths. They both lead somewhere. They both have people on them. One is one of light. The other is one of heartache, hardship, and destruction. One destroys others. The other lights up others. It's easy to look at it and say, I know what step I want to take. But when it comes to living, it's much more difficult. Because by nature, in which we're born in, we want to follow the way of the world. So it takes time. It takes time to apply it. It takes time to trust Him. And the last thing we learned already was it takes time to see the results, doesn't it? The results may not be instantaneous. Sometimes I wonder, as I'm closed for tonight, I wonder about people like D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and R.A. Torrey, people like John R. Rice, Bob Jones Sr., Sam Jones. They only saw the effects that they had right at that moment. I think often about Billy Sunday's life. I've learned a lot about him over my lifetime. I learned that all of his kids, all four of his kids, struggled to serve God. I know that three of his four kids died before he did. I know that all four of his kids died before his wife did. I know that two of his kids became alcoholics, and he was the biggest fighter against alcohol in America during time of prohibition. And he took a stand for Christ. It wasn't a stand for prohibition because he didn't want liquor. It was because of what it does to destroy the lives of people. And yet one of his sons became an alcoholic to the point where he committed suicide. I'm just saying that sometimes it's hard to see the results in your lifetime. But we look back, don't we? And we look at a man like Billy Sunday and we say, I don't know if there's ever a greater evangelist in the history of our country than a man like Billy Sunday, who was a Presbyterian preacher. And a powerful, filled preacher. Plain speaking preacher. A preacher that literally shook our nation. Now think about Charles Spurgeon. Started pastoring his first church at the age of 19. They say he was the prince of preachers. But he was sick all the time. He couldn't stay in London where his church was at. So every Monday he and his wife would get on a train. And they'd go into the country where he would recover from his weekend in the city. Where he gets paralyzingly sick. And it would take all week for him to get strong enough to be able to come back in and pastor the thousands of people that he pastored. I wonder how many times he sat in his study on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, getting ready for a Sunday, feeling as sick as could be, getting on his knees before God and saying, I don't know if I'm doing any good. I'm so sick all the time. We'd say, oh, come on, you're talking about Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher? Yeah, I am. If you read some of his writings, you find that he never felt good till he got into the country. And one day a week he'd actually feel well. And he would always wonder in his writings, what does tomorrow hold for me even? Because he was looking at that one little spot. See, now we're looking back, aren't we? And we see the great work that he did. And the multitudes of lives that it affected. Because he made right decisions. So there's more to our life than just that little minor moment that we're going through. And that little bit of struggle we're facing today. And so when it comes down to our life, it's what did we do with our life to make the right decisions in the light of the Word of God to move from the ways of the wicked to move over to the ways of light. Where we become brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter till the Lord returns or till He takes us home. I'm not as bright as I want to be. No, you're not yet. Not over yet either. So we just need to walk with God. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight. Thank you for your word in the book of Proverbs. It talks about how we need to change our life. And it takes time. Doesn't happen overnight. Father, each one of us are at work and has a lot